Can you hold somebody? Let's pray in tongues. Some. Just hold somebody and pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. The keyboardist, you come. Praise God. Amen. Shadia katafi ya luzoshteheka. Migredugo zuzuvi higle gezuzuzuzuvili kreketili zuzuzuvahakshta. Prozizivegete ndere bahaka karabashta hakalizeshte. Midiva hagido zivehekle kidizoshta. Prostifique te cabahanti cleque dizuzovresta. Mi pregaduli hagzasta hakleke diva hagzasta. Prostifique gzasta. Hallelujah. Prozezeste hekete de baba bragasta. Zaviketa kifakatukute ke ligazasta. Zabra hagzasta hakleke diza. Buroseste. Hallelujah. Abragadolo vozuz. Hallelujah. Gediga dagazuzove hekleke diza. Jashta kleke zushta hakle diza. Prostifi hakle ke diza shta hakle ke diza. Baba baba ba shtike dege dega zazaza ba halashta. Agra ge dolo zazaza hakle ke dish. Mizubra hakle ke deli hak zashta hakitosh. Mizozo hakle ke dizusht. Mige dedi hak zazistosh. Mige dega da haza shtike dish. Mige ge dizo zuzubra hakle ke dishta. Mama baba baba hakleke dizo zozo vrehakshta. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thus hear the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thus hear the Lord. You will come out. You have been dismembered. But I will restore you whole. And you will come out. You have been dismembered. Hope had been lost. Strength had been taken away. But I am your strength. I am your fortress. I am your bulwark. You will come out shining. I will clean you up. And you'll be a trophy of the fact that the Lord walks in the midst of his people. We give you praise. He's is my story. You are my song. All day or night will I sing of your faithfulness. This is my story. You are my song. All day, all night, we will sing of your faithfulness. From my spirit to my soul, until my voice re-echoes, you are worthy of my worship, worthy of my praise. From my spirit to my soul, until my voice re-echoes, you are worthy of my worship, worthy of my praise. From my spirit to my soul, until my voice re-echoes, you are worthy of my worship, worthy of my praise.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's be seated, please. I read again today as I press further on the title, Becoming a Mighty Man of David. I'm going to pray the same title today, and I'm going to pray same next week. I wouldn't know whether I'm going to pray the same week after the next, but I'm sure I'll pray today, and I'll preach next week. First Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him 400 nuisances, 400 people that was of no mean, that were not useful. Flip over very quickly, 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, the 400 people had no names, they had no means, they were not known, they were reckoned with. But things have changed by 2 Samuel 23. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Heznite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Howite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground, and he defended it, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chiefs went down and came to David in the harvest time and unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gates." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he wouldn't drink thereof, but pour it out unto the Lord. And then you continue to read unto the end. There you have listed men of David, various categories and various calibers, you know, of the ordinary people that have become men's men. They become hero at the end of their day. Let me see and start from where I landed up last week by saying, number one, God can make a meaning out of your life. Say to your neighbor, God can make a meaning out of your life. When a life is submitted to God, when a life comes to God, the Bible talks about those folks. You know, they went to David, and the Bible says that David became, you know, their master. David became their mentor. David became, you know, their teacher. When you give your life to Jesus, when you come and you recognize destiny, I want to say to you that God has an ability to make a meaning out of a life that is useless, a meaning out of the life that is without direction, a meaning out of a life that is hopeless when you submit to him. All that you need to do is to come. I was saying to Ross last week, you come. When you come to him, he will transform your life and you begin to live. May I say to Ross that life does not begin, purpose never begin until we come to him. The man went to David and said, "Be our master." They went to him, he said, "Be our tutor." Even though David himself was running helter-skelter, but yet he became their master. David was a type of Jesus. When you give your life to him, he will begin to restore, you know, and begin to bring a change to your life. Not only that, God is a restorer of hope and destiny. No matter the station you find yourself in life, whether you lost battles, whether you lost stuff, whether you lost purpose, whether you lost direction, you are groping in the dark. When you come to Jesus, one of the things he does is to restore hope to the hopeless. Can I say this to you? Life does not begin actually when there's hope. What makes us to live? What makes us to look, you know, to tomorrow? What makes us to look, you know, to next year? What makes us to look, you know, to year coming after is the fact that with God in our life, there is hope. You can look to the future with hope. You can look to tomorrow with hope. And what God does when you come to him is hope rises on the inside of you. And that's what the Bible says. Christ in you is the hope of glory. When Christ comes, one of the things he does that he makes life to begin, you know, to be lived, is that he restores hope, you know, to the hopeless. He brings hope back, you know, to the people that have lost direction and people that have lost hope. Not only that, I said last week, number three, that when you come to Jesus, he will make a hero out of your life. Sometimes we look to people. Sometimes we have some heroes we look up to. Sometimes some of them are not good people. They are not nice people. But look, God himself wants to make a hero out of your life when you come to him. He wants with him, you know, he wants you with him to win battles. He wants you with him to overcome adversity. He wants you with him, you know, to overcome, you know, and bring your generation, you know, to the knowledge of Christ. The Bible says the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons. The whole world not waiting for the manifestation of Jesus alone, but the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons. In other words, they are heroes that the world is waiting for. They are champions that the world is waiting for. They are lights that the world is waiting for. Light which shine in the darkness of the world, and you will bring, you know, lives and soul to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's able to do that when you come to him. As I begin to press this morning, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody has a story, and that's why I sang that song. He said, I have the story. He said, Jesus is my story. Jesus is my life. Listen, no matter the station you have in life, no matter the struggles of life that you have, no matter the defeat of life you've experienced, they are part of the story of your life. And story does not end until you win. Hallelujah, somebody. I want to repeat it. Your story is not concluded. Your story has not ended until you win. Oh, I'm still struggling. I'm still losing. There's nobody with me. They're still part of evolving story of your life. That story is gathering momentum. That story is gathering speed. That story is gathering shape. Your story is gathering light. And the story will be done when your victory comes. The story will be done when your testimony appears. Oh, somebody say, this is my station. Things are not looking good. I've been abandoned. I've been left. So also was David. David had been groping in the wilderness. He's been running from one cave to the other. Right from 1 Samuel chapter 19. Samuel chapter 19. Samuel chapter 20. Samuel chapter 21. Samuel chapter 22. Samuel chapter 23. You know, he's been running, you know, from the killer. He's been running from Saul, you know, all the days of his life in the wilderness, looking for a way to escape. As a matter of fact, do you know that David himself, he said, there's a step between me and death. You know, sometimes you get discouraged in the battles of life. Sometimes we get discouraged, you know, when we're overwhelmed, you know, by sometimes loneliness, sometimes by abandonment, sometimes by debt, sometimes, you know, by deceit of men. David was in all those. And he said, I can be killed anytime by sword. I said, how can David say that? But I remember that when you're in the wilderness of life, when you are groping in the wilderness, when you are abandoned and when you are left alone, sometimes you feel like giving up. And so when you feel same here this morning, you have a complaint in David. But you see something, even though he was despondent, even though, you know, he wanted to give up, but his story was not done until God came true for him. I pray for everybody that is listening to me this morning, God will come true for you and your story will be done in the name of Jesus. David sang about the story behind his victory. David wasn't the choice of his father. David wasn't qualified to be in the house, but in the bush, tending sheep. He later became a fugitive, running from wilderness to caves. He's been running and hiding from 1 Samuel until the death of Saul. When he needed to have a company, he had 400 discontented, debt-ridden, life-weary men. Even when he wanted to receive help, when he wanted to have company, the people that he had with them, he had with him was not one, was not two, was not three. 400 people that were discontent. 400 people that were dead reading. People that the life made no meaning to. He never had the best of men. He never had the luxury of life. David always asked, had a step between life and death. Little wonder he wrote Psalm 23. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. He spoke that from experience. Because he was there so many times. Because he went through it so many times. But he realized that his time, even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he knew that the Lord was with him. He knew that the Lord was in him. And he knew that the Lord was for him. There was a hand controlling his destiny. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. No matter where you are, your station, whether you feel good, whether you don't feel good, remember this morning, there's a hand that is controlling your destiny. That hand will not let you go. That hand will not let you fall. That hand will not let you fail. That hand will not let you remain, you know, downcast. It never took. Each time David never took for granted the purpose and the presence of the Lord in his life. He never took that step, even though he was always. Can you imagine that? Somebody in the precipice of failure, precipice of death. But the Bible makes us to know that even though there was a step between him and death, he never took the step of death. You will never take the step of death in the name of Jesus. Listen, you know that David had a company. No matter how bad, how challenging, no matter the type of soul pursuing you and your destiny, your story is an evolving one. And I pray this morning, you will sing your own psalm. And you will have your own testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of it? That all the while that David was in turmoil, you know he had been anointed king. Did you know that? All the time that he was in the wilderness, he had been anointed king. All the time that was in the wilderness, there was a psalmist in David. All the time that was in the wilderness, there was a warrior in David. All the time that he was in the wilderness, David was anointed. But I'm saying to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, no matter your station, no matter what is facing you, things you are contending with, there is a king in you, and I pray this morning that you will reign. No matter what you are contending with, there's a psalmist in you, and then you are going to sing your own testimony. You are going to sing your own song in the name of Jesus. No matter what you are going through, I want you to know that you are anointed. And because you are anointed, you are going to have victory in the name of Jesus. You are going to have dominion in the name of Jesus. Let me say to you, your condition should not limit you. What should be the deal in your life is the fact that there's a king on the inside of you. It's possible that we're overwhelmed by the challenges of life. But I want to remind you this morning, no matter what the doctor has said about your health, no matter what partners have said about your life, no matter what, you know, your friend has said about your life, it's critical that you know that you have Jesus on the inside of you. Jesus has become unto you a king. Jesus has become to you a psalmist. Jesus has become unto you a warrior. And Jesus has become to you, you know, an anointing. And surely you will overcome. If you believe that, come and say amen. Amen. You will surely overcome. Let me begin to press further. And I want to say to us, what were the factors, suggest to us, what are the factors actually that made ordinary men to become men, mighty men of David? 400 men that had no names, 400 men, you know, that had no address. And suddenly, when David was writing the report of his life, He said he had strong men that have changed the whole world. This wilderness experience brought out the following from the life of David. And there are the things his men learned from him. The fact they were in the wilderness brought out some factors that changed those men. I said to Ross the first time they were going to go to war last week. And David said to them, let's go. I said, no, we can't go. We are afraid. The same people that were afraid became the fighters, the warriors, the conquerors, and the men that changed the world. They become heroes. And so what are the factors? Let me quickly, you know, highlight some factors. I might not go into details because each one of them is a sermon topic in itself. But you can see here that the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, the Bible says in verse 2, they came and they submitted to him. The first thing that started changing the shape, the story, the destiny of 400 men was their submission. Our lives begin to make meaning when you learn to submit. Submission is one of the toughest things for a man to do. I say to people asking you questions. All of us, it's a position that you want to be. In other words, accountability. If I gave you 100,000, I say, oh yeah, come and tell me how you spend 100,000. That's when frowning will begin. Probably we've been smiling before, we've been trimming banters. I say, okay, how do you spend the 100,000 I gave you? And then you go tell somebody, you know, pastor, you want to embarrass me, you know, I spent 100,000. He asked me, I spent 100,000. She said, can anyone send 1 million? He just gave me 100,000. Everybody runs away from accountability. And the first thing that will begin to make you a man, the first thing that will make you to become relevant in the kingdom of God is when we live a life of submission. That's the first thing that will make you to become relevant. When you say, Jesus is my Lord, what you are saying is that, Jesus, I submit to you. Jesus can be our Savior. But he can say, Jesus, you saved me. But see, I want to live my life in the way that I want. I want to go to wherever I want to go. I want to partner whosoever I want to partner. I want to relate whosoever I want to relate with. Do you understand that? But no, when you begin to be more serious in your war with God, you move from the level of him being your Savior, and experientially you begin to say, you be my Lord. Lordship, we always demand submission from us. You'll not be of any relevance in the hand of God when you don't learn to submit. Submission, again, is like mentorship. Somebody that will give you direction. Somebody that will share experience of life with you. Somebody that will tell you, you know, I've been there before. I remember that David, you know, would have said to those people that, look, 400 men, I've been there before. I've been distressed before. I've been in debt before. I've been neglected before. I've been alone before. And he said to them, welcome to the company of fugitives. Praise God. Welcome to the company of people running helter-skelter. They submitted their time. They submitted their lives. They submitted their resources. I want to say to you that that's the first thing actually that started transforming the life of those people. Can I suggest to you again? I don't know whether you've been there before. One of the toughest ways to live your life is when you want to live your life in a regimented way. I want to wake up to pray 5:30 every day. You go try it. And see whether you'll be able to do that for 1 month. I want to make sure that when I come to church, I give offering every service. You go try it and see whether you're going to maintain it. I want to make sure I read 10 chapters of the Bible, you know, every day. You go try it. That is what submission takes from us. That is what accountability takes from us. Some of us are help people, you know, I stopped long time, you know, borrowing people or loaning people money, you know, which one is which one. You know, because you know why? You know why I stopped? If you loan somebody 10,000, normally this person that will come and greet you, a pastor, Shewa, Dada, Kujometa, Epele, you know, he's supposed to return the money in a month. When he begins to get to 3 weeks, the same man that said, Pastor, sometimes when you are coming this direction, you will just go this direction. Do you get that? You know, what I'm trying to bring out is this. Accountability is tough. And when you want to live a life that will make a meaning in the kingdom of God, you must be accountable. Listen, this one will hit you more than you expected. Not accountable to God alone, you must be accountable to man. How do you want to impress me? How do you want to convince that you are accountable to God when you are not accountable to man? Service start at 5:30. On Tuesday, we fast and pray. You know, and then you stroll in at 6 o'clock. I say, when I'm coming, Pastor Batami, so Bataka Akiri. You understand? Somebody say, transport. How call? Transport. Go to the airman, Ribo, watch your chi, awa kantini, watch your chi. That's what accountability, that's what submission takes. When you are submitting, it's not easy all the time. As a matter of fact, submission means this is what I have. This is the way I'm thinking. This is where I'm going. And say, sir, I give it to you. When you submit your life to God, it will come with a lot of pain. But listen, from that pain, a story, a testimony will evolve. Say to your neighbor, submit to God. Number two thing that defines the life of the people is the fear of the Lord. David taught the mere man the fear of the Lord. 1 Samuel 26:9. 1 Samuel 24:6. Two times David had a chance to keep Saul. Two times. One time David was in a cave and Saul wanted to ease himself. He went into the same cave. David was in the recess of the cave and he had an opportunity. The weak man said, David, owo ore ti ta ba ekuda ota re lele gun pa. David said, no, you don't do that. He was teaching them the fear of the Lord. They never knew about the fear of the Lord. They never knew about the anointed of the Lord. They thought that now, when we kill Saul now, that is the end of this trouble. But David said, no, you don't do that. He said, but let's show Saul that he was in the range of death. And even when David caught the hem of the cloth, he still felt bad. Did you get that? Just cutting the edge of the cloth, he felt bad that he did that. That's somebody that have learned the fear of the Lord. And when the king left the cave, he ran after him. He said, king, see the edge. If I wanted to kill you, you'd have been a dead man. And the second time, I've never seen that before. Have you seen that before? Except God. Warrior. People that were going to fight battle. You know? And the Bible says all of them slept. Gedzin. Warrior. They prepare for battle. And then they all slept. The Bible says because God caused them to sleep. And David got there, the hammer bearer, you know, the lieutenant colonel of the president who had slept away. He took the spear. And then he went out and he called them. He said, King Saul, can you see that God I'll deliver your life to me once again. You know, the guy accepts submission. I want you to link the two. Except there was a submission. One of them could have gone ahead. He said, "Wala iti ponubo. Have you reasoned that? Wala iti ponubo jere. Tabatun shofu David in sin yoni emangpa. You know, so he can throw something from the back and kill him. And say, David emang binu oshe shini oshe shini. But because they've submitted, listen, they obeyed. And they said, we can kill this man now. And I remember, like I will say now, David said to them, "Aburi nyo kweni, mo sofu yin the other time. You don't lift your hands against the anointed. Eti bagbeni." I say, "Yes, sir. I'm a tig bagbeni. I want to fair be ori esonu." I say, "No, you don't do that." David said that something will kill him, but the death must not come from our hands. That is what the fear of the Lord will do. The fear of the Lord will give you reference for the things of God. The fear of the Lord will give you reference for the purpose of God. The fear of the Lord will not make you to behave stupidly. Oh, I want to shock you. Being born again does not mean that you live in his fear. In fact, as a matter of fact, some of us born again believers sometimes are the reckless ones. But one thing that begins to transform you to a mighty man, a man that God can look with respect, and a man that God can commit purpose into his hand. Because you know something, God does not commit purpose into everybody's hands. You don't know. God does not give assignment to everybody. You don't know. You know, the Bible was saying, he said, the time you should begin to eat hard meat, he said, "No, boli atepa, le itunje." These are some of the things that begin to make a serious man heart of a believer. When you live in his fear. So not only were they obedient, they walk in the fear of the Lord. Number three, that made the man strong man is loyalty and faithfulness. Tell your neighbor, loyalty and faithfulness. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very expensive, you know, in these latter days. Scarcely can you have people that are faithful. Rarely do you have people that are loyal. Loyal to a cause. Faithful to a cause. Loyal to a person of God. And loyal to leadership. And that's what I always say to people. People say, you know, people have come to me. I say, you should go and do politics. So I say, you want me to die prematurely? People that are loyal, I don't know how they can succeed in politics. You know, politicians, if all of us Brafemi is a different politician. You know that? He politician, but he knows what I'm talking about. If four politicians will sit here now and say our decision is that Brafemi must be the candidate, you know, then go and do press release. So Brafemi to work, don't worry, I'm the candidate, you know. When they do press release, they will say that Amina is a candidate. You know why? When we finish that meeting, two of them are come again to do an Abimokburoni. But when you are being trained by God, deceit is not allowed. Hypocrisy is not allowed. Straightforward loyalty. When David was going to talk to Saul after he called the hem of the garment, you know the way he addressed him? He said, "My father, my king." How can you call somebody seeking your life your father? How can you? The second time too, when he's showing, you know, the spear, he said, "My Lord." That is loyalty. Even though things are not going on well, even though the focus are changing, even I know this is the man that is stabbing me at the back, yet as he say, "Yes, sir." That is what God demands for a man that wants to live purpose. Before God can commit serious business into your hand, Before God can look unto you and your life for a purpose, he must find you faithful. Faithfulness means I'm here. He goes for a year. He goes for 2 years. And he comes and says, Lord, I'm still here. There are storms, troubles, tumblings, roarings. I'm still here. And that's why we can see it in the life of the mighty man. You know, after they've learned faithfulness and loyalty, you know, from David. David himself did not know that the people had learned so much. David just woke up and said, Move me to one near Bethlehem. Who can sort it? And he didn't mean it. And he did not know that those guys had learned so much in faithfulness and loyalty. They just went out. Before David could say, Mama, share any other day. That is what loyalty does. That is what faithfulness does. One of them, you know, in the midst of 800 people, he said, I'm still here. He was fighting. He's learned loyalty. He said, no, I can't turn back. All the other people have disappeared. All the other people have run away. He said, no, amongst 800 people. He faced this direction and was killing. He faced this direction and was killing. He faced this direction and was killing. And the Bible says he fought so much. Even when he said, I don't want to fight again, he couldn't stop because the sword has been buried into his hands. A life that is loyal will always be still. A life that is loyal will never change his word. God demands loyalty from anybody that will mean anything to him. I call you to a life of commitments. I call it uppermost, utmost, reckless commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. I say, ooh. You know, Jesus said the same thing. After I fed them for a while, I said the feeding will stop. You know, because it will be according to the scripture in 10 minutes too. After we fed people for a while, it will stop because I have to be like my father, you know, in the scripture. And Jesus said, no more food. And when he said, for this Sabbath, there's not going to be food. He just found that heart rich people had gone. And he said to the apostles, he said, are you people going? He said, where shall we go? That is loyalty. When I was leaving the headquarters, you know, I didn't tell anybody, you know. And somebody called me. She's here. She said, sir, you didn't tell me. I said, I didn't want to tell anybody. Because I don't want to hear that I carry people. He said, sir, where will I go? He said, you are my father. Wherever you are going, I'm going. Now, after that, I said, where is going to be the church? And I laugh. I said, oh, maybe the church you are. All of Ebamilo. Only as long the church is in Ibadan. He said, I will follow you. From that day, the person has been here. That's commitment. And I have some people who are my children. I say, pastor, my father. I say, look, we are going, you know. He say, we shall miss you. We shall miss you. Hallelujah. You know, we shall miss you. You understand that? But a life that is loyal and commitment will never do that. That's not that thing that made those men. Number four, forgiveness and trust in God. 1 Samuel 26:10. David learned to forgive. Many times he forgave the king. Can I say this to you? I was talking to a young lady and I said, until you forgive and cleanse your heart of bitterness, I say you will never make progress. I've invited her to come to this church. She's not from Mokola, so don't think I'm inviting anybody from Mokola. You know, she's from CAC and by fire, by force. I said, you must leave that environment. You are living in a toxic environment. An environment that everybody is an enemy. I said, do you think about it that you too, you are an enemy? Because in your church, everybody is an enemy of an enemy. I said, you don't need that environment. You will never get out of it. She has a challenge. I said, you never get out of that challenge. Change your environment. What is killing a lot of destiny today is a heart that is filled of offense. A heart that is filled of unforgiveness. Some are holding things against their parents. Oh, your parents did very bad. I know of somebody that the mother just abandoned her, I think from 3 months. She's married, she's old, but the pain is still there. You know what is worse? She said to mom one day, he said, who is my father? You know that the mom even could not tell who her father is. She dates. The mom said, he said, that is your father. When that said, okay, I know my father. When that man died, the mom said, this one is your father. Can you see that kind of life? And I said to her, I said, look, leave all these things. He said, I want a closure. I said, what kind of closure? You want to go to burial ground? He said, I want them to do DNA. At least I will know my father. I said, you belong to a new kingdom. God is your father. Some have hearts against father. Some have hearts against mother. Some have hearts against siblings. Siblings fighting siblings. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to let go. It's not about them. It's about you. It's about your destiny. It's about your purpose. Somebody, I will never talk to my parents again. I'm in battle with somebody now. He said, my mom is a wicked mom. I said, but this same mom gave you life. This same mom gave you opportunity to live. Even though she's done something stupid, you need to forgive. You need to let go. You must. Your life is not strong enough when you cannot absorb offenses and hurts. In battle, in warfare, punches are thrown. Mistakes are made. Words are said. What offense can be greater when Jesus looked at one of his best apostles and said, get thee behind me, devil. If I said that today, you not come to this church again. I say, kiwani, awaki, ni sho shire, wanku, wani, devu. Devu ben ye now, kino njebe. Jesus looked back and said to Peter, say, get thee behind me. What an offense that could have caused. But if his life, I suppose that he knew, if my life will make meaning, if my life will amount to something, I must learn to let go of offenses. Turn to your neighbor and say, let go. It's not big enough. Turn to somebody and say, let go. Jesus must be in your heart and not offenses and not pain. Oh, yeah, I'm quite awoken. Hallelujah. You let go. The person that should be in your heart should be Jesus Christ. Let me begin to round up. Lesson in the heart of war and dexterity. That's not that thing that makes you strong. Look, whatever you are going through now, there are lessons that you are picking up. You know, somebody will say to me, he said, this person is bad. This person is bad. This person is bad. You know, I don't want to deal with this person. I don't want to relate with this person. I say, hey, Selah, change the way you are thinking. I say, this person that is bad, this other person that is bad, ask yourself a question. You say, God, what is it that you want me to learn from them? You know, that's very easy to condemn people. It's very easy to take offense. But you can say, God, you brought some paper my way. Which side of my lie do you want to shape? Which part of my lie do you want to correct? God will always bring people that will bring you pain. Not all the time. You have people that will make you smile, people that will care for you. There's some people that will come into your life. You know, there will be bad people. There will be people that you don't want. There are people that will vex you. There are people that will irritate you. There are people that we. But what God wants you to take out of his heart? God, what are you teaching me? Until a Christian can change and begin to say, Lord, in this situation, what is the lesson? You will never be a mighty man. Let me round up. I have some point. But I will round up on this. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18. You go read it. And I want to round up by saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, that God can be trusted. You know, when David and his men, when they were turned back by Achish, you know, because he was living in their midst, and he was going to join Philistines to fight Israel. But Philistines did not trust him. They said, David, you go back. And by the time David got back home, the Bible says the Amalekites have destroyed his people. They've carried his two wives. They carried the children. They've carried everybody. And the Bible says David cried until he could not cry again. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all of them cried until they could not cry again. I don't know about that situation. You are crying. You want to cry, but you could not cry again. It was that bad. And the Bible says that he has an effort and asked God, say, God, should I go after? And God said to him, pursue. You will overtake and you will recover all. That was what God said. Listen, I'm charging you rounding up to say you can trust God. No matter the station you have, no matter how your story is today, no matter how bad, rejected and you've been dejected, you're in sorrow, you're in shame, whatever you are passing through, I want you to know in your heart that you can trust God through it. God said to him, he said, you will recover all. After you are done crying, I said to you this morning, God says you will recover all, and you will in the name of Jesus. You know that at the end of the story, and that's what I want to bring out, God said it, and God accomplished it. In verse 18, you go and look at it. God reckoned that indeed, David, like God said, David recovered all. The wives, you recovered. I don't know how you go to battles and you don't lose. I don't know how you go to battle and you don't have scratches. But when you go to battle trusting the Lord, you can recover everything. Like God said that you will recover all. So, it's documented that you recover all. I charge you this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know, you have a color that is different from black. I don't know the language that you speak. I don't know what you are passing through. Honestly, I don't. Except the Lord will open my eyes. But you know your story. You know what you are passing through. But what I know, and I want to leave with you this morning, God can make a meaning out of your life. And it can make a testimony out of your mess. And it can change your story for good. You can trust him. I want to invite you to the place of trust in God this morning. I want to invite you to a place of submission. Submit. You've carried the problem so long, you have an opportunity to submit to God this morning. The devil, I hit you. Right, center, forward, backward. Can you just come reverently before God this morning? In the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. When you begin to get his fear, your life will begin to make meaning. Can you trust the Lord? Can you bow down heads everywhere we are seated? Trusting God will begin when you submit to him. Are you here this morning? There's no time. You've consciously submitted your life to him. Submitting your life to him is in the place of salvation. You consciously come to God and say, Jesus, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord. And you submit your life to him. Can I have the keyboardist come? And you want to submit your life to him this morning. And invite you to so do. Wherever you are seated, can you place your right hand over your chest? He said, I've never submitted my life to him. There's no time I gave my life to Jesus. Thank you, my brother. There's no time I consciously gave my life to him. Just place your right hand. I want to be sure that you are doing too. You see, in the business of submitting to God, there's no complacency. There's no ambiguity. You want to give your life to him? one hand on your chest, can you stick the other hand up? Wherever you're seated, just raise the other hand, one hand on your chest, raise up the other hand, raise up the other hand. I want to be clear on this. Thank you, my brother. I want to be clear on this. I want to be clear on this. I want to be clear on this. You must be born again. Except you are born again, you will not. That's all the Bible has said. My brother, where you are seated, say this was after me. He said, Heavenly Father, I believe with my heart that Jesus is Lord, and I confess with my mouth that He is Lord. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And so I'm born again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us today. Thank you because you are making men out of our lives. Okay, thank you, Father. Let me pray for a group of people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you here this morning? You are weak. You are weary in the race. You have things, challenges. You are the verge of giving up. I want you to place your right hand over your chest. I want to pray with you. You are weary. There's something that is troubling you, and you feel like it's over. But you need strength this morning. You need strength. You need strength to carry on. Because your story is evolving. Your testimony is evolving. So don't give up yet. Don't give up yet. Don't give up yet. Wherever you are seated, can you just rise on your feet? Even in your seat, I want to pray with you. Wherever you are seated, you need the strength of God to carry on. Yes, my brother, you need the strength of God to carry on. You need the strength of God to carry on. Mahakatali basata kopolosh. Grace upon you all. Strength from heaven upon you all. You will not falter. You will not fall. The hand of the Lord is upon you. He will strengthen you. The hand of the Lord is upon you. He will engrace you. The hand of the Lord upon you. And it will show up in your life. There shall be a testimony in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I pray for the church. I say, may your life be precious in sight in the name of Jesus. May He rescue you from all distress in the name of Jesus. You will accomplish much and you will certainly prevail in the name of Jesus. The Lord shall cause you to experience rest in every aspect of your life. And I say you're not afraid in the name of Jesus. I declare it is well with you in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.